You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Hello.
The silent. Supposed to
say hello?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know. I was actually out grabbing a quick smoke and came back in. And no, we don't believe in that. It's wrong. It's wrong. I don't need more people sending me tweets complaining about something I said because they're so good at the humor. Pastors are so good at the humor on the interwebs.
On the interwebs. That's great. That's awesome. Well, I can't believe we are almost at episode 300.
Really? I thought, it feels like we've only done about half that many. Are we that far?
We are. So Ed, I'm curious, what do you think we should do for episode 300? Because we're on episode 285 right now.
I don't know. Why don't you come up to Chicago and let's do something amazing. I mean, let's go to a Cubs game. Let's do it from a Cubs game.
Oh
my gosh.
You could probably get us in one of those press studios, right?
I don't even think they have those in the Cubs. The stadium, it's an old stadium, so I don't know if they have those things. I mean, again, I've been there like three times in my whole life.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you know what? Let's get into today's question. It's going to be a great one. It's on how to help your spouse be prepared for planting. So let's listen in.
Wow. All right.
Hey guys, I have a question about how to prepare your wife for church planting. As planters, we get the brunt of development and the workload when it comes to reading material and conferences. But how do you bring your wife into that process and help her develop and help her heart be prepared for the sacrifices and the task of planting ahead? How can I help my wife be prepared for planting? I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts and any resources you guys have on this topic.
Wow, it's a good question, and it's one that actually I talk about a lot because I remember Sean Lovejoy talking about this. We love Sean Lovejoy. So what is it? What's the name of his deal now?
Courage to lead.
Yeah, that's how much I love him. I didn't remember the name of his deal now, but I just call it Sean Lovejoy's deal. But we love Courage to Lead.
Yeah,
And they do great stuff. So, but one of the things he talked about was, this was years ago. We were at a conference, and he said something that was very significant. Mm. And he said, how did he put it? He said, you know, church planters go to these things and they get drunk on the vision, and then they come out and they come home and I think he said is, you know, their wives are like, what are all these crazy ideas? He wants to move to this side of town, all this sort of stuff. And really it's fascinating because I've seen it. So, you know, as he was in the question he was mentioning, you know, go to conferences, go to seminars, get all excited, come back home. And in my case, my wife is just kind of like, okay, so what are we going to do? Where are we going to live? You know, how are we going to pay the electric bill? So I think that's a big part of that connection is you've got to have a more intentional communication strategy. So this is something I even do today. I was recruiting somebody the other day, and in both cases, I say to them, hey, can you get your spouse on the line? I want, you know, because there are questions you're going to have to repeat all the questions you have for me for them. And yeah. So, you know, why don't we just all have this conversation together? So I think it's important to bring, in his case, his wife, in my case, my wife, to bring any kind you're making a life decision like this is to not come home and announce filled with enthusiasm and passion, but to try to bring, in my case, Donna to as much as I can. Now, people are different too. So, you know, Donna is more, you know, I'm an extrovert, she's an introvert. Donna doesn't sit around saying, man, how can we strategically think about this or that? Whereas some people's, you know, might be in a situation where their spouse is very different. So in our case, we just kind of would pray together. She'd come to some things, think through some things. But I really think this has to be a team decision. So when we decided to plant our first church, I drove up alone, you know, so we didn't, I don't remember why I drove up alone, but I went to the inner city of Buffalo, New York, kind of just prayed through alone. And I can't remember why. I think she was finishing up her student teaching. And then
how far when away I came, was that from where you were
living? We were in Georgia going to college, and in Buffalo, New York is where we planted. Yeah, so yeah, I don't know the hours, but it was a distance.
Yeah.
And couldn't afford to fly. So drove. And so when I came back, I was actually, remember, I stopped at a hotel room and I put out a map and I began to pray for the Lord's clarity of where we're to go. And we had just come from Buffalo. Just, it was it. We were supposed to go to Buffalo. And I came back to Donna and I said, I think the Lord wants us to go to Buffalo. And she said, well, you've been gone. I've been praying. I think he does too. So we came together on that. But, and this is the important part, is that if I had the means and the resources, I would have brought her with me. And then later on I did, where we actually processed it together rather than processing it separately. I think a lot of times what happens is a lot of this processing is done separately. And since it's separately, it's unhelpful.
Yeah. No. Would you recommend that? I mean, how does that then differ for someone who receives a call to plant and wants to plant in the city that they are currently pastoring in? So it doesn't require a relocation, but it is going from working in an established church or working in a church with a full-time salary and then saying, okay, we're going to leave that to plant in our city. How would you counsel the planter and their spouse differently in that?
Well, sense. I'd certainly be real careful, because I think that planting a church in the town can be a little awkward too. You want to make sure that you're sent out by the church, unless you're sort of not on staff of a church. The whole I'm on staff of a church and now I'm planting a church is kind of something a little overdone. And yeah, I think we need to be careful. If you're taking people from an established church without partnership with that church, you're not planting a church. You're splitting a church.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of the key. I think that, that for that journey, I think you just want to make sure you're both on the same page. And so I really think that for Donna and I really believe this. I believe that Donna has veto power over everything in ministry. So, and you say, well, should you listen to God before your wife? No, because here's why. Because if my wife says no, if Donna says no, we can't do it. So ultimately, she can trump that. If she would just say, you know, I don't want to be in ministry anymore. I'm checking out. Well, guess what? I don't get to keep going on. So you say, well, the Lord's called you. Well, of course the Lord's called me, but I'm no longer biblically qualified. If Donna says, peace out, I don't want to do this anymore. So that's the key. I think you got to come back to. So therefore, part of our processing has to be that, in my case, Donna is fully on board, because if she's not fully on board and she checks out, then I'm disqualified. Furthermore, there's going to come a time when I want to quit and she's going to turn to me and say, God's called us to this. And that's the key thing. When we were in Buffalo, or when we were in Erie, or when we were in Atlanta, or when we were in Nashville, all the places we planted, every time they've been a place, man, I don't want to do this anymore. And Donna, because she, God called us at every place and she felt equally called, not in the same role, you know, because, you know, she different personality, different wiring.
Yeah.
But she would turn to me and say, no, this is what God's called us to. And then that's the time I needed her to be strong.
Yeah. That discernment process is so huge. And it's our responsibility as husbands to shepherd our spouses, you know, shepherd our wives to seek God. And it's one thing if they check out because they're not seeking God and you haven't done enough to shepherd and to pray for your family and to discern together. And, that's one side of it. But if it's another where you're both seeking God yet having differing opinions, I mean, that's something where, yeah, you totally have to be on the same page. A year before we moved down to Nashville, we were praying about moving back to Montreal to be a part of the church plant that we were part of. I don't know how long ago, you know, at that point, maybe 8 to 10 years before. And we were praying about moving and I sensed God. I mean, I even went to Exponential, and at Exponential, I just sensed God calling us back there. And there were so many confirmations I sensed as I was discerning. Yet Christina, in every aspect, in every part of that, sensed that God was saying no.
Oh, wow.
And it was our seventh year of marriage, and it was so difficult for us because she was convinced that God said no, and I was convinced that God said yes.
Wow.
And for about 6 or 7 months, it got to the point where she was like, okay, just go then. You know, if you feel like God's going,
savage.
We're going to be here. The kids and I are going to be here. You can visit us, but you go ahead if you
no
feel
God's. No way. Oh, that's brutal, man. That's
like,
brutal.
Yeah, I was like, no, yeah,
that's
going to
work
so.
Well. But that's the point. I mean, she literally has veto
over
this. And that's, yeah, but that's so funny. So how did this resolve?
So, I mean, we were both, and it really got to the point conflict-wise where I was like, are you even praying, fasting, and seeking God? And she was feeling the same thing about me. And yeah. I just ended up coming to the Lord and saying, okay, God, I just give this up. And Christina ended up coming to the Lord and just giving up it as well, to the point where we were both like, okay, if we go, if we stay, you know, it's in God's hands. And at that point where we both totally fully surrendered it, I just really sensed God saying, you know what, just stay. You know, this is not going to be beneficial to your marriage or to the ministry or anything if you go in, you know, with what's happened and all this. So we ended up saying, and I praise the Lord that we stayed, because that's what kind of paved the way for us to move down to Nashville a year later.
So basically, I got stuck with you because of this. So, because you were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar when I called you.
Yeah.
People are like, what? If you're not 40 to 50, yeah, you got to Google that.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
And then you'll get some good 80s music, right?
Dun, dun, dun. Who is that? Human League. Is that like their one hit wonder? I think. So, but anyway, and one of the best decisions we ever made, and I like to say it was my decision, but I think ultimately that Todd, who I think does something with this podcast, the reason there's 150, not there's 300, not 150, Todd had something to do with that. But we're excited that you joined our team and lives were changed.
Man, praise it's the been Lord. Fun. It's been fun. It's been fun. Yeah. Well, thanks again for listening to today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't yet done so, and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, because we read through them and it does help, and it is very encouraging. So thanks again, and we will see you next time.